This is Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, talking to you directly from, now it's working, directly from the University of Healing headquarters in Campo, California, the Absolute Monastery, the Worldwide Healing Ministry, and a thousand other wonderful organizations all functioning from our wonderful center here.
And from your heart.
And from my heart. Oh, yes, always from my heart. Our topic today, starting a little late to tell you what our topic is, but of course you don't really need to know what their topic is. You'll catch it sort of as you go along, but we'll give it to you anyhow. Back to remembering our teacher. This is a thought for today. Back to remembering our teacher. Now, today we had a demonstration again during our lunch hour of the teacher saying all sorts of silly things and important things and non-important things, and no one listening. People butting in and saying, oh, this is so and that is so, or that's not so, or this is not so, and well, you're not getting the message. Now, I believe that I am making the program here at the monastery entirely too difficult. I shall have to be on duty only certain hours as your teacher, and other hours I will just be as another person here that you can talk to nonsense or unimportant things you could just talk to for in any way you like. Because if I am always the teacher and you're not aware that I'm always the teacher, there's no benefit to you. And all I do is shake your boat, rattle your chain, get you all upset, make you feel unhappy with yourself and perhaps with me. How you could ever be unhappy with me, I can't understand that, though. But I do that. Now, we had such simple discussions at the table as to toast with butter or without, and bread with butter on the toast before it was delivered and without, and of the fact that I said, thank you, I will eat this other bread, which has the salsa sauce on it, looks very good, and I do not want any toast. Now, I said that several times. Now, Ingeborg may not have heard it, because she was here and there and everywhere, but we must teach Ingeborg to be listening to all conversations. Because even though the conversations seemingly don't interest her or are not important to her, they're quite important sometimes. Because when you put out a message, the message should be heard. Now, who gives a hoot and holler in hell whether Herb wants a piece of toast or not? You know, if he says no, then so what? If he says yes, then so what? You know, the thing is, if whenever the teacher, who it happens to be me at this point, whenever the teacher is talking, you listen. And you not only listen, you respond. You respond to what was said. Not what your thoughts are, but what was said. Because your thoughts may be off on another tangent. Your thoughts may be off on another valley. And he's up in the mountains. And you're looking at the beautiful valley and the wonderful trees and the wonderful garden area, the beautiful flowers that are blooming up and down the sides of the mountains. And he's saying, look up here, look up here. Here it's one-pointed. Here it's only one area of consciousness, and that's you meeting you, your divine self meeting your divine self. And if you're not listening, you miss the point. You miss the point. As I was walking the path this morning, I was thinking of several people I was working for in my treatment, as well as all of you. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting if each one of us were to express our original purity and integrity, period, express our original purity and integrity, nothing else, nothing else. You know what would happen? We wouldn't have the bodies we're living in. We wouldn't have the circumstances we're living in. We wouldn't have the minds we're living in. We wouldn't have the relatives that we have. We wouldn't have the friends that we have. We wouldn't have none of these things. None of these things would be of any consequence to us, not because they're bad or good, but because our consciousness is on our purity. Now, you remember the story of Chief Wannabe But Ain't No More? Okay. Remember how it went? He came with illness, with problems, with age, with all sorts of things. And how did he leave? He left a young, dynamic Indian warrior chief with a long mane of hair and beautiful color to it, pure black like the Indians normally have. And his complexion was just radiant. He was just alive. He had muscles and he had stature and everything. He was so bent over before and so knocked out by his illness that he'd had since a child that he wasn't his original purity and integrity. Yeah. We have him coming to these shaman here at Campbell, and we have him talking to them and telling them a little about his life. And that is merely to keep him off of the subject that the shaman want to do work with him on. And so they are supposedly working with some smoke, you know, and some other sort of boo-boo-doo, you know, Hindu magic mumbo-jumbo. But what is the magic mumbo-jumbo? The magic mumbo-jumbo is merely a way of distracting your attention and making you think, hey, maybe there's a new trick here I haven't learned, you know. Maybe there's a new technique that might work for me. Okay. So, he went to sleep. And he did what they told him to do. And he believed what they told him to do. And he had the change. Now, I told you a story about Jim Sanford, remember? Jim Sanford was a young follower of mine in the various newspapers I had. And every time I'd move to another town, he'd move to another town. And he was just a graduate of high school because he wanted to be near me and he wanted to work with me. And I don't think he really loved me or worshipped me or anything like that. He just knew something that others didn't know. And he wanted to be near him. And so he was away from me for a while and he got on drugs. And then he came to me on drugs, and he says, Herb, I don't like this. And I said, that's understandable. I said, what do you want to do? You want to get rid of it? Yep. I said, okay, you can move into the lower room down below my house here. I have my former real estate office down there. And so he moved in there. It had no bathroom. It had no anything, just a couple windows and a door. And he did not come out for days. Finally, I sent my son down. I said, Mark, go tell Jim to come up here or get out. I will not have him playing that game here. And so Jim came up all disheveled, all mangy looking, really like a something from the sewer, you know. And so I said, Jim, you go in, take a shower, take a bath, and freshen up, and then come on out. So Jim went in, always followed what I told him to do, took a shower, got cleaned up, shaved, came out looking like a brand new piece of merchandise. And I said, okay, Jim, sit down. Now, there's two pieces of bread on your plate. Those two pieces of bread are blessed. You eat those two pieces of bread and they will absorb all of the narcotics that are in your system, all the drugs that are in your system, and they will also absorb any desire you have to do it again. Any desire you have to ever participate in drugs again. And he didn't laugh because he knew pretty much who I was. And so he took the bread and he ate it and he finished it all. And his face was like a radiant light. His eyes were bright and clear. He looked like he had been just a radiant young man. And he was. He was maybe about 27, something like that. And just fantastic. So, from that day forward, he has never touched a drug, a narcotic. He has always been wonderful. He has never had a desire for it. And he found a wonderful woman to marry. And they have established a studio in Hollywood where they teach people who are and troubled, how to become actors and how to develop that skill. Now, if Jim hadn't followed everything I told him to do, well, he didn't before. He came to me, and he talked to me, and we were friends, and he'd eat with us, and then he'd go away and do his thing. He took me dancing with him and his girlfriends. He had a girl for me, you know. And we went to some of the nightclubs in the area, and I danced every dance they did. And how'd you learn this, you know? And we just had a good time. I said, Jim, is this what turns you on? He says, you know, he had made up his mind. But finally, he hit the bottom, and he came to see me. And he rose to the top. Now, this is a story I repeat, not because it's so wonderful, but because I don't want to confuse you with a lot of stories. Because there are a lot of stories, and there are a lot of interesting stories and so forth. I give you a glimpse of them now and then. But this is enough. It's a matter of following directions. And you see, that's where our big hang-up is here. We don't follow directions. Our big hang-up here is that you think that I should just jump to your call. And that's okay. Go ahead. As long as you think that, you're not getting the greatest benefit out of me. Now, if you were to talk to me about spiritual qualities, about your original purity and integrity, about, what do you call it? Spiritual healing? Spiritual healing? If you were to talk to me about spiritual healing, what would you hear? Don't answer him. What would you hear? You would hear about the pathway to spiritual healing. But you cannot go there. You cannot go to spiritual healing until you have gotten rid of the attitude that you don't know how to drive. Because you will not learn how to drive until you want to learn how to drive. Understand? If you say, I can't drive, even if you could drive, you would make such mistakes that you couldn't drive. You say, I can't boil. Hello, this is an interesting statement. It's about men. Men don't know how to boil eggs. They can't even boil water, you know? Men can't iron shirts. Men can't do this. They can't do that. Hey, cool. The woman make a niche for themselves in the world of men who can't do these things and they need them. Well, hey, men can do anything a woman can do, and a woman can do anything a man can do. This is nonsense. But the point is, if you want to have a relationship, a belonging relationship, then be yourself. And don't think you're somebody else's slave or somebody else's lackey that's going to do for them what they need to do. But see everything being done harmoniously. And when you do, then you're ready for your walking your spiritual healing path. Because a spiritual healing path means that you do not think there's something to heal. You understand? The spiritual healing path means you do not think there's something you have to do to the world to make it better. The spiritual healing path means that all is already fulfilled in its finest and most wonderful, noble attitude that could ever be. That's the spiritual path. Now, are you interested in the spiritual path? Are you interested in walking that way and doing these things? If you are, then learn how to be respectful to yourself. If your mother walked in the room and she says, hello, children, I'm a mama, and mother would say, put out her hand like the Pope, you know, say, quiet now, quiet. I'm glad that you're all incited to hear me, but I can't hear myself talk if you're so noisy, you know. Sorry, Mom, sorry, sorry. Now, you shouldn't say sorry, Mom. Just shut up and listen. And then mother will say something beautiful. She'll say, from the day you were all born, it was the happiest days of my life. And all you have ever done has been to make the day happier as each year went by. Because you became more wonderful, more glorious, more fulfilled. I am so proud of all of you. Now, You get goosebumps, all of you. You feel wonderful. That's your mom. That's your mom. Respecting you and loving you. Now, did your mom ever say that about you? Sure she did. Did you always hear it? Not really. A lot of times you had your ears tuned to the TV set, tuned to the sports games, tuned to whatever you wanted to tune it to, you know. And you're very, very foolish. Your mother, your father, they were part of your training team. They were showing you the way to find that inner center within you. Did you listen every chance you could? Unfortunately, no. Did you respect them and love them for who they were every step of the way? No. No. You treated them like another human being. Who doesn't understand me? Mom and Dad never understand. But I want to go. I want to do. I want to be. I know, sweetheart, that's part of growing up to wanting to go and wanting to do and wanting to be. But part of maturity is recognizing that you don't have to do all those things to be all those things and have all those experiences. And part of growing up is recognizing that there will be many teachers in your life. Some you respect and some you don't. Some teachers will drive you mad, and they may be your greatest teachers. Some teachers will applaud you and pet you and love you and make you feel just wonderful, and they may be your worst teachers. Just remember, you have a path to walk, and the path to walk is the path to your spiritual healing, the path to your awareness of your divinity, the path to be who you are. Now, I don't care, really, I don't. I don't care if you ignore me as a sharer or as a teacher or as someone who works with you. I don't really care. But you should. But you should. It's like my son. I had music in the background. And he knows I love classical music. And he came up to me and he said, "Dad, what are you listening to?" I don't know, it's just something in the background. He said, "Well, listen to it for a minute." And so I listened to it for a minute, and it was the most mournful, sad type of singing that you could ever imagine. I hadn't even heard it. I had, but I hadn't. And I said, "Oy, yoy, yoy, yoy." He says, "That's no excuse, Dad." That's no excuse. And he was only about 15, 16 at the time. But he knew that what you put in your mind is what comes out. And I was so happy to hear him having learned that lesson. Now, you too learned that lesson. I love you very much, and I see you climbing easily on your path to your spiritual awareness. Ingeborg, sit down.